Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
So guys, we're coming into a great time. There's always great things happening in church, isn't there? Come on, I want you to talk to me today. And there's three postures. I'm not sure I've articulated this specifically, but as a church, I always want us to have three postures when we gather. Because let me tell you, the gathering of the church matters. Amen? Well done on gathering as the church today. When we gather, what are we doing? We're putting God first. That matters. God's not second, He's first. And every time you put God first on a Sunday, the beginning of the week, it tells you, that's right, God's first. It tells your family, hey, around here, God's first. One of our location pastors, Laura Manuel at Central West, shout out, she said, you know, I heard this statement that what is optional in one generation becomes unnecessary in the next. And you must remember, you putting God first is not just for you. It's for your family. It's for your children's children. It's for your neighbors that people see, hey, we don't see God as optional. God is first. So well done, everybody. And let's keep putting God first as we gather. When we gather, there's three postures I want us to have as a church. You ready? The number one posture when we gather together in an environment like this, whenever it is, number one is humble. We come to God humble. And I want to congratulate you on the way that you worship God today, the way that you come before the Lord. We come humble. We come grateful. Let me tell you, pride is not how we roll. We don't do pride. We do humility because we need the grace of God. Anybody need the grace of God? Yeah, there, come on. Where's all my humble people? We need God. Come to church, expect God, I need you. God, I need you today. You know, when you gather with the church, there's mutual encouragement. We encourage each other. We strengthen each other. We embolden each other. We see people come to Christ for the first time. Like people today, if you feel far from God today, there'll be an opportunity for you to turn to Him. And so the gathering, man, we always come humble. Second posture is we come hungry. Come hungry for God. Come expectant for God. When we open up the altar, don't kind of mosey down. Sprint down if you have to. Kick people out of the way if you have to. Just come hungry. Come and draw near to God. Honestly, the front row, come and have my seat. Come and bring all your friends. I'll sit on the floor. It's about hunger. Come and lean into church. I'm telling you, when you come hungry, your soul will be fed. But don't come casual. Don't come indifferent. Come hungry. That's our posture around here. We're humble. We're hungry. Third one is we're hospitable. And I want to just honor you for being the most hospitable people on the Northern Beaches. Now, the Northern Beaches isn't always known for being that hospitable, right? I mean, it is at cafes. But sometimes it can be clicky. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We aren't clicky. Have close friends, but don't be clicky. Don't be threatened. That's not our posture. And let me tell you, that is not the posture of the kingdom. Can I get a good amen? The kingdom is hospitable. Jesus sat at the table and made room for people to come and eat. That's who we are. So listen, we're working on food. We're going to do a better job of working on food post-service. I have a vision that this place is going to look like the Palms or something. Why should you have to go somewhere else for lunch? I want you to stay. And so there'll be a cost. It's not going to be free. It'll be reasonable. But we're working on it because we want hospitality. Listen, you can't get hospitality from a podcast. The church should be the most hospitable place in the world. So as we work on this, I want you to lean in. I want you to plan your afternoon. Bring friends. I don't care if the first invite for someone to church was to come and just have lunch on site after the service. Whatever it takes. Because we are humble. We are hungry for God when we gather. And we are the most hospitable people on the northern beaches. Hospitality is going to turn this city and the northern beaches upside down. Amen. Amen. So, let's get into the message today. I only have 3 hours of content to preach to you today, and I'm going to do it in about 15 minutes. Pray for me. But we're going to go to John 15, 9 to 17. John 15, 9 to 17. I'm going to read it. I'm going to give you a little bit of context, and then we're going to unpack this scripture, and then we're going to respond to God. You ready? Come on, are you ready? So good. Here it is, John 15. I'm in the NIV. I'm in the NIV. It says, as the Father has loved me, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. He says, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Woo! My command is this. This is the command. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. All right. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. How you doing? You still with me? You did not choose me. Hello. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Everyone say, love each other. And with that, thanks, Simeon. You may go, sir. I love your haircut. You look so handsome today. It is very clear in the Gospels that Jesus lent into human relationships. Jesus, though divine, he was also human. And he did not create distance with people. He lent in to people. He was constantly connecting. And he had emotion towards people. He had feelings. He had real things. And he engaged constantly with people. We see him weeping at Lazarus's tomb. He's about to raise him from the dead and he still cried. Because there was a connection with Lazarus. He loved the rich young ruler who he corrected. He corrected him, but it says that he loved him. He washed his disciples' feet. Disgusting. That is the ultimate picture of I am here to serve you, which is upside down, and that is the way of the kingdom. Remember, leadership in the kingdom is never I'm on top. Actually, I actually serve from below. Leadership is servitude. And that is the way Jesus rolled. And so sometimes the common idea that leadership is lonely really wasn't Jesus's MO. He didn't live lonely leadership. He had lonely moments where he would go and seek God by himself. But he was not lonely in the sense that he was constantly doing life with people. He was bringing the disciples with him. He was growing the followership. He allowed more people to follow. And church, that's what we do. We're not trying to keep this to ourselves. Jesus allowed room for more people to follow. That's what we do. And Jesus connected to people. Jesus did not do his mission or his ministry or his assignment alone. And if it's good enough for Jesus, come on somebody, it's good enough for you, us, me. This is why I love Connect Group. I had Connect Group just this week. It was the best. We had a brand new guy come and share his story. And just, we prayed for each other. We go around the circle. We pray for the person on our left. Sometimes we mix it up. We pray for the person on our right. It's really rad. And we go around the circle. Then we pray for someone that we're believing to come to Christ. And we do this every single fortnight. And do you know, like Jess and I, life is awesome, but it's been quite a juggle lately. It's been a bit of a juggle. We've had renos and all this stuff happening, and there's times where it gets more intense. And the best thing was I just got to say, guys, I need you to pray for me. I'm tired. Jess and I are a bit stressed. You know, like we got to have about 99 decisions ready for the builder tomorrow. You know, that we're going to live in for the next 30 years. Yeah, and so I brought that to the room, and I got prayed for. And I got to tell you, as soon as I unloaded that and they prayed for me, I felt so good. This is what it is about. Jesus was not going to the cross. The road to the cross was not lonely. The road to the cross, he was doing his assignment with others, and he brought them with him. That's what we are to do as the church. We bring people with us. We include them in our lives, which is what we see in this chapter in John 15. We see that Jesus included the disciples in the Father's love. Look what it says, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. That is honestly the most amazing inclusion, that God included the disciples in the community of love that he was already a part of. He brought them in. I remember I was going to the airport with Pastor Phil. We were traveling somewhere. And we went to the lounge, and I was meeting him there, and he was already in the lounge, and I came to the lounge, and I got out my airplane ticket, and they looked at it, and they said, "Oh, sorry, you can't come in." And I said, "Well, thank you. I will leave." And I did the walk of shame. I began the walk of shame out of the lounge until Pastor Phil, I think the Holy Ghost was talking to him, because somehow he knew that I was there and probably getting escorted out. And so he came to the desk and said, "Hey, hey, hey. Hey, shut up." No, he didn't say that. He was very respectful. He said, hey, he's with me. And suddenly, their whole tone changed. Suddenly, they're like, "Oh, Mr. Lee." I said, "Yeah, that's right. That's me. Would you like to come into the lounge?" I said, "Yeah, I would." And I just walked straight in, and I had about 29 cups of coffee, and I had access. Do you know that Jesus has brought all his followers? He has given us access to the love of God that he has personally. You're not clapping enough about that point. That is amazing. He hasn't brought you into a secondary level of his love. He has brought you into the community of love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He has included us right in. What a privilege it is. And it goes beyond that. Jesus says to the disciples, "I don't call you servants, I call you friends." Oh, to be called the friend of God. Are you kidding me? Like, I am happy to be his servant. That is privilege enough. But imagine getting to be God's friend, doing life with God. John 15, 13 to 15, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Jesus expressed his love for them in friendship. Now, friendship between Jesus and the disciples didn't look like equality. So it wasn't like, yeah, let's bro down here. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, yeah, okay. It had conditions. He's still Lord. He said, you have friendship with me if you obey my commands. So there is conditions. It wasn't equality friendship. It was a friendship where the greater has included the lesser. It was a picture of inclusion and friendship. This kind of friendship was, I am going to show you everything I know. Everything the Father has revealed to me, I'm going to give to you. Some of my fondest memories growing up is when Dad would bring me to come and do something, work on a job with him, and he'd show me how to do it. I'm not sure I took all of it in because I still have a lot to learn. But he would bring me in and he'd be doing a job. One of my favorite things with Oaks is I bring him along when I do stuff and I teach him what I'm doing, even though I know he literally has no idea what I'm talking about. He literally has no idea. But I'll be using all these terms because it's not about what we're doing. It's about inclusion. God has included us like friends in his mission and purpose. This is worth getting excited about because he didn't just leave me as a slave out the back. He said, hey, come and watch this. Come and learn this. He taught the disciples what the parables meant. I want to be a friend of God, don't you? I want to be on the inside with God. I don't want to be just the crowd around God. I want to be a disciple. I want to be in his love. And Jesus said in verse 9, therefore, remain in my love. Remain in it. When he says my love, he is describing agape love. You heard this word before? Everyone say agape. This is very important in Scripture. Agape love. There are four types of love. There is storge love, which is family love. There is eros love, shout out, which is romantic love. Awesome. There is philia love, which is friendship love. Then there is agape love, which is God's love, unconditional love. Paul writes of agape love in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, love never fails. When Jesus says, remain in my love, that is the definition of his love, agape love. And I don't know about you, but that list of love is impossible. Have you read that list? Always trust, always. I mean, I was just driving the other day. On the road. Yeah. And this guy was riding the tail of my car like nobody's business. I could not believe it. I was driving in my Toyota Yaris, which is a very affordable, economical vehicle. Come at me, a current affair. Yeah. I'm driving up the hill, and this guy has the audacity to ride my tail with my little family in the car. My other car was at the mechanic. And I got to tell you, agape love was not coming out of my mouth or heart or soul. Agape love is hard. This standard is impossible. Are you kidding me? Patient all the time. I mean, it literally says love that never fails. Are you joking? This is impossible. But agape love is not about us, it's about God. What is impossible for man is possible for God. And agape love is the love that we are designed to have at the centerpiece of our lives. From the Garden of Eden, agape love was the environment. It was what dominated the environment and the atmosphere. And when that is at the center of your life, all the other loves come into order. Listen to me, listen to me. When you have agape love not at the center, all the other loves become distorted. They become submitted to the ways of this world. So that means when it comes to eros love, lust dominates eros love. It dominates romantic love. And lust is about taking, not giving. Friendship becomes about what do I get out of this friendship, not what can I bring to it. Family becomes what you owe me as my parents or my sibling, rather than how can I help build this family. But when you have agape love, unconditional love, giving love, generous love, God's definition of love, the other loves fall into order and come into health. Eros love is no longer about taking, it's about giving. Storge love is no longer about taking, it's about giving. Philia love, friendship love, is no longer about taking, it is about giving. And you cannot have agape love at work in your life without God. Do you know why? Because John, who we're reading, who wrote this gospel, he also wrote 1 John. And in 1 John, John is older. And he has some things to say. He doesn't really give a rip what people think. He is pretty brutal in 1 John. One of the things he says, God is love. He doesn't say God is loving. He says God is love. And the word for love there is agape love. The only way to have agape love functioning in your marriage, functioning in your parenting, functioning in your friendships is if you have God at the center. That's the only way. And then Jesus goes on from there and he says, now, that's my love. Now remain in it. And guess what? How you doing? You doing all right? I need like 5 minutes. You all right? Jesus then teaches the disciples how to remain in his agape love. And do you know what he says? He says, obey my commands. Obedience is how we remain. How you doing? Obedience to God as Lord is how we remain in his love. And obedience brings joy. He says, obey me so that your joy may be complete. Obedience brings blessing. Obedience brings happiness. Doing things my own way leads me to disaster. But if you obey God's way, it'll lead you into life. And so obedience is how we stay and remain in his love. We obey his command. What is his command? You ready? It's all here in John 15. You can see it all there. In verse 12, you ready? Are you ready? It says, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. This is the command. Remain in his love by fulfilling this command, which is to love each other. And guess what the word for love there is? Any takers? Yeah. It's agape love. Oh, come on, I love it, I love it. Agape love is the same word there. So again, okay, God, to remain, to be a friend of God, I need to obey your commands. Your command is to love one another with the same love you have given me, which still feels impossible. Worship team, I need you to join me as I talk about how impossible this feels, because we need you to help us. It feels impossible. But do you know, have you heard of the fruit of the Spirit? Have you heard of it? It's in Galatians 5. Look what the fruit of the Spirit. It says in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, or joy. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Guess what the word for love there is in the fruit of the Spirit list? Do you know what it is? It's agape. The Holy Spirit, do you know in John 14, just before John 15, Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Helper. And it is the Helper who helps us live according to the commands of Jesus, which is to love one another. How are you going to do this? It's impossible on your own. It's impossible in your flesh. I wrote a rhyme. Do you want to hear it? It could be good. It could be trash. I don't care. I do a little bit. A car without an engine won't drive, right? It's a good point. A kite without wind won't glide. A bird without wings can't fly. And a Christian without the Holy Spirit won't survive. That's a bar. Did you like that, Pete Clark? That's a bar. We had 40 songwriters gathered here yesterday writing songs. I'm going to send you that, Dan. You can use it for free. It's impossible without the Holy Ghost. Don't be trying to agape love people in your flesh. This is not about trying harder. This is about deeper surrender to God. And I'm telling, if you will wake up every day and say, Holy Spirit, Jesus called you the Helper. Help me. Lord, I want to be your friend. I want to be a disciple. I want to obey your commands, but I need you to help me. Help me to be patient with my kids. Help me to walk in this kind of love. And this is the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces, that Jesus said just before, that the way you love each other will tell the world that you are my disciples. This matters because it is not just for us, it is our testimony to the world. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us to walk in the same love that Jesus walked in, so we can bear the same kind of fruit, fruit that lasts. In Jesus' name, can I get a good amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.